are they without power? Why aren't all the power lines underground? And others have no mobile phone coverage. Why? Why aren't they battery operated and backed up with a diesel generator? Why are they off at all? And heavy rain and strong winds, yes, that's true, overextended period causes very soggy ground and things start moving around. Northland, Auckland, Waikato, Bay of Plenty, Tairawhiti, Opotiki, Hauraki, Thames, Coromandel and Whakatane are all under states of emergency. All right, I haven't seen any evidence of anybody needing it. In fact, one of the journalists went to these centres that they've set up for people and they're asking them to go there, self-evacuate and go there, and they're all empty, all the way down, you know, past Waihee and all those areas there. People are just hunkering down at home. Why wouldn't you? Why would you want to make... And they say, well, it'll make it easier for the emergency services. Well, sod you. It's not about you. It's about us. We pay for you, and it's about us feeling safe in our own home. And until the water starts lapping around, you know, we've got the dinghy ready, got the outboard on the go, the jet, the Hamilton jet's all ready to go at the back door. No, we'll leave it as we are, thanks. Official government advice. Here we are. Severe impacts of Cyclone Gabrielle are now being seen across the upper North Island. No kidding. It's almost over, actually. Red weather warnings are in place for Northland, Auckland, Coromandel, Gisborne, and Taranaki, with orange warnings for the rest of the North Island as well as the top of the South Island. In actual fact, the further this eye thing gets away from us, the more intense the winds are. If you know anything about cyclones, the closer you are to them, there's no wind. As you go further away, it really whips up. So that's why on the west coast right now, we've got wind gusts of 50 knots at Manukau Heads, gusting 75. So Murawai will be really copping it right now. In Auckland, the eye is heading it further away from them now. So they had a little bit of a spell there over the last hour. And the time now is 12:30, midday on the 14th. That's Tuesday. So about an hour ago, they had not much wind, but now they're back up to gale force, which is 27, 28 knots around about that, as this eye moves further away and it gets windier and they're getting sou'westers now. And they'll be getting westerlies too by the end of the day. But by the end of the day, the winds will decrease as this whole system moves further south and starts bothering the rest of the country. So according to this, it is safe. If it is safe to do so, stay home. Well, I think it's a lot safer to stay home inside than it is to be wandering around outside with things flying around. So Murawai that slipped off its piles and fell onto the road. You can guarantee that things like that don't happen for no reason. Everything that happens on this farm happens because of my inability to do proper drainage or, you know, stake trees. I've got a couple of small trees that I planted a couple of years ago. They've blown over because I planted them in a very wet area because that was the whole idea. They were poplar and willows, and they couldn't handle the gusts, and they've blown over. So, you know, tomorrow when it calms down, I'll go and get some stakes and prop them up, and you know, they'll be as right as rain. But they fell over because of the gusts, extended gusts, very wet ground beneath them, and the roots just weren't down deep enough in that wet, soggy stuff to hold the branches. So they're saying here, have an evacuation plan. Well, that's sensible, isn't it? In case your home becomes unsafe to stay in. Right, but otherwise you would never leave it. If you have you can if you want to go for a drive. If you have evacuated, please stay where you are until you are given the all clear to go home. I think that should be up to the individual, not up to some other person. Stay away from floodwater. Gosh, no kidding. And never drive through floodwaters. Well, you'd determine how deep it is, wouldn't you? You'd have to survey it and look at it. Use your common sense. Otherwise, you've got a four-wheel drive and you're up high, and it's not too deep of floodwaters. It's not going to go up, you know, halfway up the wheels. You should be pretty right. Please check on neighbours and family members if it is safe to do so. Right. Please stay up to date with the forecasts from Met Service and continue. Well, why? You're just going to scare us. The thing will last 72 hours as it goes through. It's moving slowly. So here we are up in the far north. We've still got winds of, you know, 30 knots, gusting probably 50. And, you know, within a few more hours, that'll all be gone and we'll be back to normal again.
Tomorrow will be a good day. We can all get back to work. Check on neighbours and family members. Right. Yeah, please stay up to date. Oh, gosh. Advice on how to get prepared. Include it in the Te Reo Māori. Advice on how to get prepared, including in Te Reo Māori. Oh, well, no one speaks that. You know, you may as well say nobody speaks that. So why would you even put it there? Why? Because it's utu. Because it's revenge, because it's spite, just to show you white bastards that we're in control. That's what it's about. Call 111 if you feel in any danger. Well, of course, but unless you're a freak, you know, a fearful freak, and you know, call 111 for no reason. Stay safe. Oh, yeah, they always have that word, don't they? Stay safe. Don't take any chances. All right, so you live your life like that in fear. What else do you need to know? Oh, I can't even read it. It just makes me sick. It's just. Just ridiculous how they love to come in and take over and say that, oh, they're saving us. They're saving us. It's not even that bad a storm. It's just prolonged and there's a lot of rain with it and that causes things to get wet and sloppy and trees to fall over. But it's a disgrace. It's a disgrace that our cell towers are down and our power is down. Just disgrace. All power should be by now, if the money was being diverted properly, being spent properly and not diverted into sustainable development Agenda 21 policies, we would have all underground power and we'd have the best in the world, and we'd also have a cell phone network that was the envy of the world as well. Because the moment the power went off, the batteries come on and the generators come on. And you know, they should be tested regularly. It's just a flippant disgrace that what's going on. That's what I think.
Here's what's going to happen. I'm going to tell you that the anti-vaxxers appear to be right. Somebody who did not get vaccinated, got a little Omicron, or maybe even a worse one, but recovered. Now you've got natural immunity. And you have no vaccination in you.
I like that guy. That's real coffee with Scott Adams. You want to have a look at his YouTube channel. He's pretty good. Like listening to Scott Adams. Well, what's happening with the weather at the moment? So let's have a look. We've got, I'll just see if I can bring you up to date. So in, let's go to Whangarei and have a look and see what's happening there. Only trouble is, you know, when you go live, because the internet is so bad, I'm on dial-up speed at the moment, so you'll have to bear with me. So, yeah, see, they've got nothing now. They're in the harbour. Can you see that? So that those people there, they have absolutely nothing really much happening. Nothing much at all. 13 knots, but I would say that by the end of the day, they'll have a bit more. Where I am in the far north, it's gusting probably 40 or 50 knots. We've got an average wind of, you know, 23, 25, somewhere around there. So it's not too bad. But if you have a look at the west coast, if we go down to Murawai, for example, where that house slipped off its piles because the people that had that house didn't put proper drainage around the back of it where the bank was, and of course it got all wet and the whole thing slipped away. That's what happens. Piles will move if you put your piles in wet ground and you haven't drained them properly. If they haven't got the old Nova Coil going around the back, there'll be a reason for everything. But if we just move down here to the head, so look at that. I think you can see that we've got 50 knots there, and that's gusting 75, and that was just 9 minutes ago. And then further, so that's out in the Tasman coming into the heads there. So we've got winds coming from the southwest, and it's going to get that. But you'll notice on the other side, on the east coast, it's very sheltered, and so we if we move over to we've only got 20 knots there at Opito Bay, 20 knots there. What's that? That's Mercury Island, isn't it? They've got 21 knots there. They had 26 knots 9 minutes ago with a gust of 35. So hang on, I've put you crook. I'll take you back to where we are. Yes, so I didn't know it is blowing a bit. 26 knots. 20 knots southwester. Now, but see, the eye of the thing is here. Now, let's just put our little peg on there. See, it's 3 knots in the middle of that eye of that cyclone. So you see what happens with them? So really, what you're going to feel, you'll feel more, as the thing moves away from you, you'll get more wind. So like if we come up here and move ourselves over here, we've got 36 knots, probably gusting 50 or 60 knots there.
and a lot of rain with it. And if we move back to the other side, it's moving down the hill there. You can see it moving down, moving towards the southwest. So right there, there's 26 knots. And over here on the west coast of New Zealand, we've got 35 knots there right now. But there was, at, as I said, 50 knots gusting 75 just by the Manukau Heads there, by the old notorious Manukau Bar. So moving back up the country, we don't really have, let's have a look there. So we move up to, say, Baiaka, which is up, it's a bit slow. You'll have to bear with it because we are a bit slow at the moment with the US. So right now, yeah, it feels like, when I look outside, it feels like around about 25 knots, and that'll be gusting 40 the odd time. I'm in a tiny house, so the thing likes to move, jiggle around a bit. And a couple of times last night, I felt like, you know, we must have had 50 or 60 knot gusts in the early hours of the morning. And, she moves around a bit. So, but, you know, you'd expect that when you're sitting in a tiny house that doesn't have proper piles underneath it. But the barn next door, which is a huge barn, very tall, double-story barn, just built, beautifully built. Those things, this particular design that we've got here is designed to withstand winds of 250 miles per hour. Now, the other gripe I've got is that, I don't know, when it comes to winds and water and things like that, it's always traditionally always, we've always used knots per hour, you know, especially in marine forecasts. But I noticed they use kilometres per hour. And, of course, kilometres per hour make it sound very scary, very, very scary. So, you know, like, for example, 70 knots is, well, that's 140 kilometres per hour. That's quite a gust. 50 knots is, that's probably about, how many miles per hour would that be? Probably 60. So that's probably 100 miles per hour, I would say. 100 kilometres per hour. So it sounds a lot more, but it's not really, is it? So most of the winds that we had up here in the north were, most of the time, they were, you know, in exposed places, they were averaging about 25 knots, gusting up to sort of 40 or 50. Some of those gusts were quite big. You know, some of them were felt quite damaging. But they came like a train, you know, that you could hear them coming. And, you know, and then you'd have to go and pick up a few bits and pieces that had blown around outside. But I don't know why you'd build your house up on a ridge, you know, that hasn't got trees around it, although you don't want those trees too close, because if it's really soggy, which is what we've had over the last 4 days, we've had very soggy ground, and when ground gets soggy, the roots of those trees can't hold on, and there's a lot more windage up top there with all the foliage, and so they fall over pretty easily. It doesn't take too much of a gust to tip them over. We've planted some poplar poles about 2 years ago, and some of those ones that have really got going, and poplar and also willow, and some of those have actually tipped over. So I'll have to, tomorrow I'll whip into town and I'll probably buy, you know, a couple of dozen of those Waratah stakes, and I'll have to restake them. I'll have to get some good stakes and restake those. I've had about I've probably about 10 trees, little trees that have just sort of blown over and the wind couldn't handle it. They weren't staked. So that's a bit of it. And the reason being is they are planted in an area where it is wet, and we wanted them there to help with, retaining the ground in that area. And so that's why we put those willows there, but they just couldn't handle it with so much water we've had over the last 72 hours. In fact, so much water we've had right over the last winter, spring, and this summer. This summer has been one of the wettest summers on record, and that's why everything's soaking wet. A lot of the jobs that we want to do on the farm we can't do because it's just too wet, and no one wants to drive, you know, we don't want to drive a bulldozer or digger rather over the ground and mess everything all up when it's all wet underneath. So let's see here. Now let's move down to and see what's happening. I would say right now, if we go down to the East Cape, they've got 27 knots there. Right now, they've got 20 knots solid. And and what have they got there? 27. And I'd say they'd have a gust of up to 35 or something. I'll just click on that and just see how long ago. I can't get there. Oh, a little bit of a loading error. So we might have a bit of a problem there with that. Never mind. So anyway, 27 knots now. Further out we go, we can see all that wet weather. 36 knots out there, a bit more wind and a bit more rain. Actually, that's just wind, that colour. But look at it, right in the little eye of the little sod, it's one knot, so there's no wind at all in there. So people say, oh, it's going to hit us, it's going to come ashore. Well, what will happen is you'll think it's over. So when these things move over the top of you, there's no wind, and you think, oh, that was good, it wasn't so bad, it's all gone now. Oh, great. And then the thing moves away. As it's moving away, look, watch this. As I go, right now, north of Auckland, they're copping it, even though the eye of this the system is just due north of East Cape. It's past the Bay of Plenty even, but look at this. When I come up here, I've got 35 knots constant there. Right now it's 35 knots. See in the lee of this little island here? They only had 7 knots tucked in there because they're Okiwa. They were at Wangapara. They're in the lee of the island, so they're sheltered. So it's always good to be in the lee, isn't it? So there she is. I don't know. I hope you can see that. I hope you can see what I'm looking at. I think you can. Yes. Yep. Anyway, thanks for joining me. My name's Grant Edwards. It's coming up to 1:05. And let's have a look and see what's happening with the freakout news headlines. Let's see how they keep us living in fear, frightening us every 5 minutes, and how Chippy's come to save us. Lovely Chippy, you're a good boy. So let's have a look and see if they have see what the news is. Here we are. So this is the latest news. I'll just see what's happening here. Look at this guy here, just sort of like reads the news. It's all so exciting. Look, so let's see if we can hear what's going on. Here we go.
$11.5 million support package for communities affected by Cyclone Gabrielle and recent flooding.
Meanwhile, Auckland is bracing as Cyclone Gabrielle tracks south. The city came to a sudden stop today, with flights and trains cancelled, schools and businesses closed, and many back working from home. Alice Wilkins reports.
There were shades of lockdown for Aucklanders today as the city ground...
Shades. Oh, there we are. Sorry about that. Shades of lockdown. You see, and that's exactly what it is, really. It's pretty wet. You know, we don't need the civil defence or the Prime Minister to come in and tell us that we should probably stay home. We know to stay home when it's pouring down with rain and it's high winds. But a lot of business could have been done that isn't being done. It's still pretty windy for them there, and it's still pretty windy for us up here in the far north. But by tonight, I would say by midnight, it'll be down to, 20 knots. And then by early hours of the morning, it'll be down to 15 knots up here. And we'll have a pretty good Wednesday. Auckland will probably still have a bit of a breezy Wednesday, while we have a... I'll just get rid of that because it's not playing very well. Because the internet... Oh, what was that? Because the internet is shocking. Absolutely shocking. So... You know, it just amazes me that they would allow that in this day and age, our internet service is so bad that they don't have a proper backup systems when the power goes down. That is disgrace. It's disgraceful, and there needs to be a select committee of inquiry that goes into investigating all those cell towers. You know, they're bought with our New Zealanders' money. Let's face it, we gave those enterprises, the post office was owned by our grandparents and parents, and then Richard Preble and Douglas and some of the others corporatised them and sold it off through the glorified real estate agents, Faye Richwhite, to overseas buyers. Then sometimes, quite often, we had to buy them back, like railways and all these wonderful assets that we had. That we had bought and paid for, that our ancestors, our forebears had bought and paid for with their hard-earned cash, we gave away. And so these people like Richard Preble and Roger Douglas, they should all be locked up. They should be in prison for treason, because they've sold our assets. They've turned, it's been a coup. And Preble knew that Three Waters was a coup, because he did one himself when he sold off all our assets, state-owned enterprises. They turned them into these corporations so that they could sell them, because they wouldn't be allowed to sell them if they weren't corporations. So that's what they do. So look, I want to also show you, I hope you can see this. Yep, I want you to look at this, the New Zealand Centre for Political Research. This is, excuse me, a fabulous website. What's on Facebook? It says here that I'm currently offline. Let's see if I can refresh it. The New Zealand Centre for Political Research. This is the Facebook group. I encourage you to join it. That's got open debate on topical public policy and political issues. It says here that we welcome new members, so please feel free to invite others to join. But please remember to keep comments and language respectful. Well, I don't think you just need to keep. You need to be respectful, but you still need to be able to debate. So that's the New Zealand Centre for Political Research. They also have their own Facebook page as well. So we'll just quickly whip over there and have a look at that. It's called the nzcpr.com. So that's, it's so slow, isn't it, Drury? But yeah, there it is there. So if they get kicked off Facebook, you know, you can always go and have a look at them there. Now, Muriel Newman, she's a former politician. She is fabulous. And I've heard her before on the Leighton Smith Show. Great lady, and I think she's former National Party, Muriel, and she's doing a great job there. And a lot of the Incredible Earth must be, what, a globe after all? Oh, that's my friend John G. Anyway, so the New Zealand Centre for Political Research, make sure you get there. Now, get this. Look at this. I don't know if you can see that. It says Cyclone Gabrielle, all you need to know about what Tani Farimara Matia Atu of Winds, which is the god of winds. So this starts with a T, and it's this is the god of winds. So this is the science of Maridom. And here we are, Met Service. It's a shocking photo. Sorry about that. Shocking photo, but there we are. Look at Met Service. They're into it, aren't they? And so here we have poor old Len Brown. Says here, Auckland Mayor Wayne Brown, rather not Len, he was the last guy, wasn't he? Wayne Brown says the council has channeled some money of its Maori outcomes funding to iwi and Maori community groups who are helping people affected by a flood and the storm damage. So we had a flood a couple of weeks ago, and now we've got the storm damage. Good to see common sense and pigmentation obsessed. Dropping Willie Jackson is not going to be happy. Okay, so look at this little fella here. He's I'd doubt very much that any money that Len gave these guys would go to where it's to help the people. I think it'll be channeled and again somewhere else. So what else have we got on here? Oh, there's a bit of debate there, you know. So what is it? What do I say? Oh no, that's Ryan. He didn't like what I said. But what did I say? Can't even find my comment. There it is. Oh, they're offering food, drink and shelter to their people, paid for by all New Zealanders. That's right, they say our people, but our people means Maori people. It very rarely does it mean anybody else. And as I said, I can feel a Tui's billboard coming on. Maori Marais provide food and shelter to all New Zealanders. Yeah, right. Yeah, right. And so we'll move down. It's a bit difficult. The internet is so slow, so I'm sorry about that if things are struggling a wee bit. So what else have we got here? I wonder if, look, it's really slow now, so I might not even be able to get through this and read to you some of the things that I wanted to read to you. So let's just get back to the weather thing, because I think that's coming up all right, isn't it? That's coming through. Yes, that's good. Okay, so how do I get to it? There it is, right there. Yep, so the time is, it must be coming up to 2 o'clock. Yes, oh, is it 1 o'clock? Oh, it's only 1 o'clock, my apologies. I've been saying nearly two, but it's only one. Today's dragged, isn't it? I wonder if we can get the news. I wonder if I can get the news. That would be interesting, wouldn't it? How would I get the news here? I don't think I can. Let's see, Today FM, they have frightening news, todayfm.co.nz, let's just type that in and see. I've been listening to them because the internet was down, and right now I've got the telephone leaning up against the window, the highest part of this in the bathroom. Can you believe it? It's the only way that I can do this little thing. So let's see if we can, listen back. What does that mean? Today FM, very slow to try and get onto here. So hopefully we can actually just, it says they're on air now. Let's listen live for a moment and just see, because I'll have news coming up very shortly. So it'll take a while, but we're trying to get there. Anyway, so it's 12 o'clock, and in a moment we'll pop in and listen to the Today FM news and just see what is happening. Wow, boy, she is slow, isn't she? But hopefully it'll be there very soon. It says we've got internet coverage. Go Loud, this must be some program that they use to get the news. Really, I need to have a bit better internet service. But of course we can't, can we? Because the infrastructure is so sick and slack. They haven't put the money back into it. They don't have diesel generators running as soon as the power goes off. And so, you know, that's really bad. And there does need to be a select committee of inquiry come into this because it's just not acceptable. Today FM, I've clicked on you and there it is. There's your website. But then when I go over to your wanting to hear what's going on right now, nothing. So that's a bit of a pain in the neck. So anyway, but they'll be quite good. They have been quite good listening to them at night. So what I do is with my phone, did you know that most of the mobile phones, if you just put your headphones into them, the headphones act as a little aerial and you can listen to FM radio. And so I was listening to them and I was listening to national radio as well. Of course, they're pretty hopeless, aren't they? So, look, I don't seem to be able to even get here. It's just hopeless. I wonder. Oh, here we go. There we go. Let's have a look and see if we can get some news. So we've got Dermot and Dave. They must be on now from 9 till 12, is it? Dermot and Dave. So they should come up in a minute. Dermot and Dave, Today FM. Is this New Zealand?
36 years of his life to national politics.
This is Ireland. We'll drop in and have a listen.
Minister says he hopes getting more people on the property ladder will ease problems within the private rental sector. Rents soared by a further 13.7% last year, 13. According to the latest Daft.ie report, the highest increase since recordings began. Well, the average rent across the country was over €1,700 a month. Minister Dara O'Brien says the government is acutely aware.
This is a nice change, isn't it?
Lots of renters want to be able to buy too. If you look at any independent survey done of renters and you ask them what they want, is they want to be able to own a safe and secure, affordable home. That's why initiatives like the First Home Scheme that we brought forward, nearly 1,000 approvals, as I said earlier on, and keeping the Help to Buy, actually helping people to be able to...
Oh, that cut off in a hurry. So Dermot and Dave have gone, and Dermot and Dave are not Today FM overseas, even though when I went to the website, where are we? Yes, this is the Today FM website. Oh, no, it can't, must be... I've got the wrong one, have I? Yes, got the wrong one altogether. Oh, I see my problem. Todayfm.co.nz. Let's try that and see if that works. That might work. But it'll take a long time because we're on dial-up speed. But never mind. So while it's waiting to do that, let's have a look and see what New Zealand Centre for Political Research has been saying. Governing for all. Muriel says it's surprising that the public objects to enforce racial categorisation, and that's the bottom line. Kiwis want to be treated as equals, united as one people under one flag. New Zealand is one nation, a country of equal citizens, not a collective of competing tribes. Very good, Muriel. I like that. I like that. And I think that Sir Aparna Nata would also agree. He wrote his explanation of the Maori version of the Treaty of Waitangi in 1922 when he was an MP. That was the days before the activists started reinventing the treaty and calling it, saying that we had a partnership. I noticed, I'll have to talk to Calvin about this, but I noticed Calvin Alp on counterspinmedia.com. Calvin said that we have a... He was explaining that I think he was doing the final hour, the fourth hour on the Alex Jones show, Counterspin Media, and Calvin says that the Treaty of Waitangi is a partnership between Maori and the British. It's not a partnership, Calvin. I'm sorry. I think you know that. I think you knew that. That was just, we hear it so much that it's a partnership. Oh, that's a bit of a gust. That one there would be probably 40 knots, maybe 50 actually, when the whole house wiggles like that. Yeah, wow. Yep, that's blowing. So we've still got it at 1 o'clock, 1:05, and we've still got some wind. We're rocking and rolling a little bit. So that was quite a gust. The trees are really flopping around here, the old totras. We've got some 150-year-old totras that are getting a bit of a wind lashing. But never mind. Let's get back to Sue. Yes, Calvin Alp. Yes, and you shouldn't say that, Calvin. But I know we get hammered with that the treaty is a partnership. It was never a partnership. The Great Britain never did partnerships. Do you think they would wanted to do a partnership with the Americans, with those early settlers that rebelled against the British king? No, they didn't do a partnership. They always dominate. They always took over. They were very kind with New Zealand. Very kind indeed. Because, you know, Maori were pretty sensible back then. They wanted to come under the British Queen, the Queen Victoria, and they wanted to be protected from themselves because, remember, they'd already lost 20 to 50,000 people through cannibalism, through tribes warring against each other. And a lot of those early Christian Maori, they'd had enough of war, they'd had enough of being eaten, and they were more than happy. They knew that the Declaration of Independence, they knew that the He Waka Putanga, I think they call it the Waka Putanga, that was not going to bring them safety and security. They needed to come under the authority of the British Crown, which they did. And they would have known about that even in 1835. It was still people were still being eaten. Tribes were still attacking one another. And it wasn't until probably 1836 that the first draft of the so-called Treaty of Waitangi was sent around to the chiefs. It would have taken years. Remember, they would have had to sail on ships up and down the coast of New Zealand to let everybody, all the chiefs, be able to read it. A lot of people don't realise this, but many Maori spoke very good English because the early Protestant missionaries, they taught the young children not only English, but also Maori. And of course, Maori, the language itself, the written language, was given to Maori by the British Protestant missionaries who taught them in schools. Some of the first schools, well, one of the first schools was Thomas Kendall and his wife, I think her name was Kate, and they had a small school where both Maori and British children were taught English and Maori. And it wasn't until 1870 that about 300 prominent Maori tabled a bill through an MP called Takamoana, MP Takamoana, and they asked him to table this bill that would prohibit Maori children from speaking Maori, the language. It was never called Te Reo back in 1870, but from speaking the Maori language on school grounds, and that the teachers themselves had to be ignorant of the Maori language because they knew that the only way that their children would be able to get ahead in civilization was for them to really focus on English so that they would be better traders, better business people, better farmers, and basically be able to get along and foot it with the British kids. And so that's why prominent Maori tabled this bill through Takamoana MP in 1870, and they changed the 1867, I think it was, Native Schools Act to accommodate that. And so, of course, some Maori kids, naughty kids, were speaking Maori when they weren't allowed to. They weren't allowed to because prominent Maori didn't want them to, because they knew what would happen. You can speak a Maori at home, but don't do it at school. You're there to learn English. You're there to get ahead and learn to be a part of this one country that we had since 1840, since that treaty was signed, where Maori gave up their sovereignty, except for the land that they knew their native title. They kept that, but they gave up their sovereignty, and in exchange, they were given the full rights and protection of a British subject, like my great-great-grandfather, Robert Edwards. So he was a British subject, came here in 1849 into Wellington, and so Maori from 1840 would have had the same rights under the law, British law, as Robert Edwards did. And so that was what they gave up, that sovereignty. And also, so all of that land then became the Queen's land, Crown land, and then the titles to that land, the land was never sold, of course. You know, when you buy a piece of land, you pay all this money for it, but all you get is a title for that land. You don't actually own the land. The land is still retained by the landlord, which is the Crown. And so, and you pay your rates to the Crown's agent, which is the council. So that's how that works. Yes, so anyway, let's see. So good on you to Aprahana Nata. He knew what was all about. And he would have been, that was in 1922. And that's right. We get blamed. The British people get called imperialists or colonialists, and the reason for that is crazy. We're not. We didn't stop you speaking Maori. Maori did. It was Maori people that wanted the Maori language not spoken in New Zealand schools or even on the school grounds, unless it was absolute emergency. And so, but we get the blame for that because little Rangi or Moana gets strapped for breaking the law, which was put there by Maori in the first place. And then, of course, the poor old teacher gets it in the neck because he or she's just doing their job by upholding the law that was instigated by Maori, prominent Maori. It was about 300 of them that the prominent Maori that lobbied Taka Moana and other MPs as well. And we had many Maori MPs as well. So that's what they did. And of course, today people are saying, oh, my grandmother, she was strapped for speaking Maori in school. Yeah, but it wasn't our idea. It was your people's idea. And so you can blame your ancestors. You can blame your forebears, your Maori forebears for that. But they were sensible. They knew that you'd get ahead, that you'd do better in life if you spoke English. And you could speak Maori at home, but at school you needed to concentrate and focus on English because that's the language that brought you into civilization. That's the language that'll help you be a better trader, a better farmer, a better businessman or businesswoman. So there we go. So that's my idea on that. So Muriel is doing a great job there. And Dennis Hall used to write quite a bit for this New Zealand Centre for Political Research. But there's some other people here. Karls Marx. That's a good name. Muriel writes a lot. Graham Adams is one of the writers in there. David Harvey. So get over to New Zealand Centre for Political Research.com or go to the Facebook page. This is their Facebook page. If I can get there, let's have a look. I'll click on this and hope it works. Yeah, so you just click on there and you can run down and have a look at some of these. Here it's going, the internet's working properly, so that's gone. Oh, see, that's as far as it'll go. So why is that? Let me try again and see if I can. It's very useless, isn't it? Oh, that's no good. That's just their political research. Hopefully it'll let me go down and look at others, but if I've got a bad internet, unfortunately, I won't be able to see. Look, I can't go any further than that. I don't know why that is, but there it is. So we'll move back to my Facebook page now. If you want to be my friend or follow me, feel free. Love to have you come over to my Facebook page. But boy, it's slow, isn't it? Look at that. Well, while that's drawing, let's go back to the weather, and I'll just try and refresh that and see how that's going. I don't think things are going to change too much. The west coast of the North Island is getting a bit of a hammering at the moment with these sou'westers coming through, and it's just open Tasman, so there's plenty of fetch there. Plenty of fetch. They're just whipping up past, they've got 45 knots off New Plymouth, 36 knots at Partia, 30 knots at Te Kuti. And then look up near the heads there, coming into, maybe past Raglan, 41 knots. And that's 41 knots, and it's gusting, see if I can get it. Oh, it's so slow. So, you know, that's because we've got really poor third world country. In fact, it's probably worse than third world country. It's like 1980s dial-up speed at the moment. So, yeah, but on the west coast, they're getting a hammering. Even though the eye is over here, can you see that? I'll just see if I can zoom in. Yeah, so there's the eye of it there. It's off Whakatane, northeast off Whakatane. There's absolutely no wind in the middle of that, one knot. And then as you move away from that eye, See, 8 knots. And then that'll be up to like 13 knots. And then as we get further away from the eye, it's 23 knots. 23 knots is quite a lot. 25 knots there. And then, of course, now because that wind is whipping across there, you've got the East Cape as a bit of a lee for all that wind coming around there. And so at the further you go in, you see the land is protecting this bay, the Bay of Plenty there. And Whakatane is being protected. So if we went down to Whakatane, they've only got 12 knots there at the moment. But up on the outside, if I take you over to the East Cape and we go offshore a few miles, we've got 28 knots. And the further we go up there, 34 knots. But the real wind is the sou'wester. So this whole thing is that comes around, and it just whips up, going. It's whipping through the Cook Strait at the moment, and I would say, 33 knots. See, that's quite a bit. 33 knots is quite a lot. So that will be 33 knots, and that'll be gusting up to more, even more so. 40 knots there in the Tasman, just off Auckland, off. The Manukau Heads. Yeah, there we go. Yeah, so that's something you need to remember, that the closer the thing comes to you, the eye, the quieter the wind is. It's not so windy. The further away, it really builds up. It's like a tail. You feel the whip of the tail of this thing. But it's hanging around for such a long time. I mean, 2 days ago, it was as up at north, coming off, getting close to North Cape. 2 days ago, it was up here. Cape Reinga, and now it's taken all this time. It's just absolutely dragged. You're sitting inside your cabin waiting for the thing to pass over so you can get out and do some work, you know, do some fencing or move some, we move stock, whether it's wet or dry, but you know, and you get cabin fever sitting in the place. But the wind is completely gone now. We've got no wind at all. Oh, we've got a bit of wind. Yeah, we've probably got 10 knots, 15 knots. But then all of a sudden it'll gust up and you'll have 50 or 60 knots come through. But that will end by tonight, according to, let me just check, and I'll tell you when, if you're up in the Northland area, when things are going to get a little bit better than what we're having at the moment. Oh, the internet's so slow. So this, look, I'm sorry. Oh, here we go, Wellington. Oh, no, I don't want Wellington. I want Towai. That's where we are up here, Towai. I wonder if it'll give me Towai. It might not. I'll move up there to help it and see if it'll get me there. It's searching, but so I'll have to just plant it myself. So I'll roughly tell you where I am. I'm up here. So Paihia is there, Whangarei is there, and Hikarangi, Hukurunui. So we're about here. And we've got currently 25 knots. I don't have 25 knots. I've probably got 5 to 10 knots at the moment because I'm in quite a sheltered location. But others that are, you know, if I move us over to the 90 mile beach here, that's further up, isn't it, 90 mile? But if I just go over to Dargaville, say, well, they're going to have 30 odd knots. Yeah, look at that, 35 knots. And that'll be gusting up to 50 or so over there on the Dargaville side. But it's the rain. We've just had so much rain, haven't we? I'll see if I can move to gusts because that gives you an idea. That might, oh, it's so slow. No, just wasting your time, aren't you? When gusts, rain. Yep, so there we are. Let's have a look and see if that New Zealand Centre for Political Research site has... Oh, this is my site. Yeah, that's me. Yep, so come over and be my friend. Those people there, the people with the masks, I've noticed that a lot of older people, I wonder whether they've put some sort of psychotropic drug in the vaccine that's made them very fearful. And I see a lot of... excuse me. I see a lot of people walking around with masks on today, even now. We know that we know, if you read Virus Mania, we know that the COVID thing, the whole thing was just an absolute fraud. The whole idea of a virus is an absolute fraud. If you read Virus Mania, go to drsambailey.com, buy the book. You can get it on Kindle, I think it's called Kindle, for about $10, and you can read that through. It's put there in pretty layman's terms, really. There's about 5 doctors and epidemiologists and real expert people that have put that book together. Have a read of it. By the end of it, you'll realise that there are no viruses. The whole thing's a fraud, used by 100 years of fear brought about by really bad science and the pharmaceutical industry is just funneling it. There should be no virology. All of virology. Virology was saved by in 1981 by the AIDS epidemic. They used AIDS as a. They said that there was a virus. A couple of gay guys got sick, and you know they'd be sniffing amyl nitrate. They'll be malnourished, not eating properly. They would be, you know, the drugs, amyl nitrate would be really wrecking their body. And they got a sort of immune deficiency as a result of the drugs that they were doing and the lifestyle that they were leading. And so they called this thing AIDS and they called it a virus and it just went. And it's even today, people think that AIDS is a virus and they've never. And with all the medicine that actually killed them, there was the medicine, the ACT, I think it's called. That was what killed a lot of these young homosexual men that had AIDS. And they still probably carried on sniffing their amyl nitrate. I met a fellow that did that. Quite a few of them there. When I was in Ponsonby, I had a property magazine. I knew quite a lot of them, and a lot died. But they were all into the drug scene with it. And I think they have to have drugs because who'd want someone to poke their willy into your backside? You'd have to be drugged up, wouldn't you? You'd have to have some form of drugs in you to get through something so horrendous as sodomy. Good grief, that would be one of the worst things that could. I just couldn't imagine. That's one of my fears. If I ever got locked up and put in prison, that I'd be sodomized by some big Maori or something. That would be very frightening. And so anyway, the amyl nitrate, apparently that's what the homos use, and it makes them feel a bit more relaxed, and it makes something so shocking and horrendous as sodomy bearable for them. But it also wrecks the body, ruins the terrain in the human body. And so those drugs, and then coupled with the pharmaceutical industry, the doctors, you know, pushing the virus theory. Here we've got sun coming out now, pushing the virus theory, and then they gave them some terrible drugs, and it was the drugs that killed these young men, these young homosexuals, which really all they needed to do was repent and get away from that wicked lifestyle that they were leaving and they'd leading, they'd probably still be alive today. So come over to my page, love to have you. That's one of the first things there. Let's have a listen to this. This is very interesting. I'll take it back to the very beginning. I'll take the sound off and I'll bring it up nice and big so that you can see it. I hope it'll work. Nothing seems to be working. It's just so slow.
A woman
wait. Let me see if I can. Oh, it's gone completely. Oh, I just can't get over how slow everything is. So we're doing our best. Let me
South
go back.
Wales here she died is. Wonder if after I can. Taking the AstraZeneca vaccine.
An 18-year-old health worker has developed blood clots after getting her COVID vaccine.
An elderly woman has died in what's believed to be South Australia's first case of fatal blood clotting caused by the AstraZeneca COVID vaccine.
A Queensland man is in intensive care tonight suffering a blood clot after receiving his AstraZeneca vaccine. He's one of five similar cases around the country.
Six new cases of blood clots have been officially linked to the AstraZeneca vaccine.
Oh, there it goes. It's decided to freeze on me. This seems to be happening a lot lately. Anyway, that is something good. So go on my page on Facebook, Grant Edwards. Friend me, follow me, whatever you like, and have a listen to that, because this is not conspiracy theory. These AstraZeneca, this Pfizer, these mRNA gene therapy jabs that they've been putting in us, this experimental gene therapy, it has been maiming and killing people. And many people that have died in New Zealand didn't realise, and their loved ones don't realise, because the doctors are covering it up. They don't want to be involved in an inquiry. They're covering it up that their loved one died from as a result of a vaccine. I know one woman, a fit, healthy, early 70-year-old, had developed a blood clot.
Three more cases of blood clot.
Oh, stopped again. Yes.
Clots have been linked to the AstraZeneca vaccine, including one case in an 80-year-old man. 53-year-old South Australian man is tonight gravely ill in intensive care after suffering a blood clot linked to the AstraZeneca vaccine.
In breaking news, a Central Coast woman has died after receiving a COVID vaccine.
The head of the Therapeutic Goods Administration is calling for calm following the deaths of two people in our state who received the COVID vaccine.
Concerns around the safety of the AstraZeneca vaccine have been realised here in Australia, with medical experts confirming the death of a Central Coast woman is likely linked to the jab.
A major medical investigation is underway tonight over whether a local man suffered blood clots as a result of getting the Pfizer vaccine.
Australians are being urged not to jump to conclusions over the death of a woman from blood clots after receiving the COVID vaccine. Tonight, 7 News can reveal another similar death is also being investigated.
Authorities in Norway are investigating the deaths of at least 33 elderly Norwegians who received Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine.
In the nation.
Oh, there we are. It's decided to go on the blink again. And that happens. That happens here at the Liberty NZ studio. It's 25 minutes past 1 o'clock on Tuesday, the 14th of February. And my name's Grant Edwards, and I'm giving you what's going on in New Zealand. We're looking at the weather. We had a nice big blast come through here. We're averaging... Well, that old tree's getting a walloping. Oh, here's a big one coming through. We've got about 50 knots there. When they move like that...
The medical regulator has revealed 7 new cases of blood clots linked to the AstraZeneca vaccine.
A Launceston family is pleading for help after their teenage daughter...
Stopped again. Yes, so we had a big blast come through there at 25 minutes.
...fell ill after receiving the Pfizer vaccine.
Past one.
Faith Ransett has been in and out of hospital and suffers almost daily tics after experiencing what a leading doctor admits was an adverse reaction to the vaccine.
It's estimated 79,000 people have suffered adverse reactions to vaccines.
And so I think that's the end of that. Yes, that is the end of that. So, wow, that's a lot of people, isn't it? Eh? That's a lot of people. And we're not hearing this on the news, are we? We're not hearing this on the New Zealand news. We're certainly not hearing it on the mainstream media. And you have to come to people like me, Liberty NZ and others, Calvin Alp and Hannah Spira at Counterspin Media, Damien Dement, and all the good guys that have been... Oh, and don't forget Liz Gunn at Free New Zealand. She has done wonderful work travelling around New Zealand, interviewing people that have been damaged by this terrible so-called vaccine, this mRNA experimental gene therapy. And so Liz has done fantastic work, and we're very lucky to have her. Also remember Shane Chafin too. He was a board-certified, or still is a board-certified pharmacist from Cincinnati, and he was board-certified in Washington, D.C., Shane is now back in America, as far as I know, back in Cincinnati or somewhere around there. But we were lucky enough to have him at the beginning of COVID, and he gave up his pharmaceutical career to fight with us against the forced vaccinations, the forced injections, the forced jabs of New Zealanders and the mandates. And he was down at Wellington with all the others, all the other freedom fighters, and fighting for our freedom. And so we're lucky to have someone like him here. So let's have a look at let me just see. I'll see if I can get back to what I was looking at before. We were at the Windy, weren't we? Yes. So here we are. So I'm just going to say, let's put you on, say, Auckland. I'd say most people will be living in Auckland and New Zealand at the moment. So let's come down to Mangawai. There's Warkworth. See, Warkworth, just before, they got 43 knots. That'll be gusting up to, what will they be getting there? They'll be getting 43 knots, gusting 51. Yeah, that's quite a bit, isn't it? So let's get down to Watapu. So if you're out, say, Murawai, it's all happening out there at the moment. So right now they've got a steady 34 knots, and that'll be gusting up to 50 or so. And so it's starting to ease off now. Which is great, starting to ease off. It'll be probably like that. So as you see, so as that eye of the beast, which only has about 1 knot per hour wind, there's no wind at all in the middle of that. It's all happening around the outside of it. The further out you go, the more wind there is. So if we go up to Cape Reinga in the last few minutes had a 47 knot gust up there.
So what else do we got there? Cape Brett, 36 knots. We had at Hokianga, they had 38 knots, gusting 60. Oh, so that 40, look at that. So that 48 doesn't say what the gust is, it just says it's 48 knots. But here at down at Hokianga, they had 38 knots from the south, and they had a 60-knot gust in the last few minutes, 10 minutes ago. Look at that. Whangarei, you're down to 24 knots. It's quite warm, 18 degrees, which is probably, that's at the aerodrome too. So it's not as windy as the Tasman, as you can see. Welsford's got it is nice and quiet there. It must be quite sheltered with there at Welsford, where that wind speed thing is. Kaiero, I think that's down near Hamilton. 40 knots, gusting 46. That was 8 minutes ago. Moving into Hamilton, they've got 19 knots there just a few moments ago. And here at Port Taharoa, they had 30 knots. And it's quite warm down there, isn't it? Down near Tikawiti. And then let's moving down. So if we go down to, just remember, so the eye of the storm is over near East Cape. But way on the other side of New Zealand here at New Plymouth, 47 knots at Maui. That's at the oil rig there, 47 knots gusting. And they had a gust there of 49 knots just 1 minute ago, 49 knots gusting 55. That's quite windy. Those things, you know, those platforms when they're drilling, they're not anchored. They have some special, I don't know the name of it, my son will know. But it's a special device with these engines that are going all the time, and it's keeping them right over the top so that that drilling rig, although I don't know if it's drilling at the moment, but whatever it is, that well that's going down that does the drilling, it has to be absolutely straight. So those engines are going left and right all the time. Imagine the work they have to go through to keep that rig right on top of the well. So that's how they work. I didn't realize that. I thought they were anchored. Well and truly anchored, but no, apparently not. Partia, the Partia Maori Club, remember them? 36 knots just a moment ago, and that was. It's getting a little bit cooler down there. It's Hawea. That's right. But Partia is a little bit further south. Look at that there. They've got 43 knots gusting 58, just a few moments ago. And let's whip over to the other side. Let's go to, it looks like, what would that be, Martinborough down there. Let's have a look and see whether that's Martinborough or not. Doesn't really say. Oh, yes, it does. Castle Point. Castle Point, 31 knots from the southeast. And then we go up the coast. Who have we got here? Hastings at Napier Aerodrome, they had just 11 knots, not much wind at all on there. Out on the coast, just south of Gisborne, 22 knots just a moment ago. East Cape, 27 knots with a gust of 37. But then look at that, when I move right over to the middle of that thing and I put my little cursor on there, it's 1 knot on, that's right in the eye of that storm, in the eye of the cyclone. It's a pretty mild one, really. The reason why it is mild, it's widespread, the winds aren't that great. You get the odd rogue one, you're always going to get that, get the odd rogue gust, but on average, they really are sort of between 25 and 35 knots on average, the winds that are out further away from that centre. And so it's quite a weak cyclone, and I think it's getting weaker and weaker as it disappears. Let's just have a look and see where it will end up going. So right now it's going to go right over the top of East Cape, and you can see it there. That's a little bit further south there now. Went right across East Cape. Oh, for some reason it's not redrawing. Oh, I'm sorry about that. I wonder if I can quickly get it to redraw. No. Oh, it's awfully slow. So that might be the end of Windy. I think she's not happy with the dial-up speed. Yes, so let's see if I can just give you a bit of an idea. I guess if I move into about there, and then I say, right, let's go. So it's 2 o'clock. I'll just zoom out a bit. Oh, it's not redrawing. doesn't like it when I start this little projection thing to tell us where everything's going. So there we are. So by midnight tonight, it'll be off Ruatoria. But the real winds are not going to be anywhere near Ruatoria. The real winds are going to be over here in Tikawiti, on the coast. Right by midnight tonight, you can expect 30 knot winds on the beach there, north of New Plymouth. And so let's see if I can get it to carry on going down. Yes, it's not redrawing very well because the poor old internet's struggling on dial-up. In fact, dial-up would be quicker. Yes, so here we are. So midday Wednesday, it's well away from the country. And as you can see, the winds are dropping right down 12 knots. So by 7 o'clock on Wednesday, it'll be very nice in the north. And even Auckland's going to be lovely. Hardly any wind at all. By Thursday, early hours of Thursday morning, it's going to be absolute. Oh, look, it pops up again. Or does it? No, we're right. 12 knots. Beautiful. It's going to be absolutely beautiful. Beautiful. Hardly any wind at all over Auckland and Northland. And then that goes right down to Hawke's Bay and Gisborne. It's just going to be absolutely beautiful. Down in the South Island, what's going to happen to them by Friday? Well, Palmerston North are going to get a bit of a hammering. They're going to get some sou'westers. Wellington's going to be hammered. They'll be getting theirs on Friday, getting a real hammering. And then I'd say that the bottom of the, but not as much as we got up on the north, because it's still moving away. And I can't believe that Chris Hipkins would be so stupid, old Chippy, to come out today after the thing's almost over and to issue a nationwide civil defence national emergency. I mean, that's just absolute nonsense. He's just hyping it up so that Chippy to the rescue. Chippy will save us. He's here to save us. He's going to do a Jacinda Ardern. He's going to do the mosque shooting where she came out wearing a hijab and showed so much kindness to the Muslims. And same with all the other catastrophes that happened, she's trying to make out that she's been just so lovely and helping. But no, this thing's, it's pretty much done its dash. By tomorrow, by tonight, it'll be pretty much all over for most of the country, except for probably down near Palmerston North, Wellington. But it's nothing compared, because it's moving so much further away, they're going to really miss out on what we sort of went through. But I think some of the worst hit areas, I believe, were yesterday and today, were places like Whangarei. They were getting an absolute hammering. And then later on today, the Tasman Sea, they got people that were on the Tasman side, and last night too, people that were at Murawai and Piha, they were getting a bit of a hammering with the, let's see, I'll just move back up, so we'll just go back up to there. Yeah, they were getting a real sou'westerly, just smashing into them there, with some pretty serious, it's not that serious. I mean, they're just gales, but it's the gusts that get you. And then you mix that with the rain, with just this deluge of rain we've had for week after week. And on top of that, it's been the wettest summer on record for the North Island. The South Island has been having a very dry time, but we've had very, very wet weather, and the ground is very wet and trees fall over. And then, trees fall over and they, I don't know why they fall over and hurt power lines, because, on my road, they go through the power board, or whoever have contractors go through, and they cut all the branches well away from the power lines. But I can't understand why they don't just, they've got these fantastic diggers now that they can just lay these underground cables. I don't know why that's not all underground. They did the telephone network with the fibre. That's all underground. Why didn't they put a blooming cable underground as well? A power cable in there while they were doing it. Dirty great power cable. It just seems crazy to me that our infrastructure hasn't been looked after. And even drainage. They like to make drains look lovely, but really the best drains of all are those big open drains. Those big open ones where water can just run freely. But we've got all of our drains. There's just concrete everywhere. And all of the drains, they've got grates, and grates get covered over by leaves and debris, and then they get blocked up. And then that's why we have so much damage with water going through properties, because there's no proper drainage. And probably, I know that doesn't look very nice, but really the best drains of all are those big open drains. And I think we need to have some big open ones. They could channel them through motorway, underneath motorways, and like they do in America, you know, where sometimes they go and they'll race on those areas underneath the motorways. They're just there for water, for storm water. So we need some seriously good storm water, massive big waterways that water can be channeled into when it really comes down, when there's a sort of a big deluge. Yeah, that's what I think anyway. So let's get back to where we are today, and we're at roughly, is it 2 o'clock yet? It's getting the odd 20 to 2. We're at 20 to 2, and so the thing's out off north, I don't think it's going to be that bad. Having a look at Opotiki, they've got nothing happening down there. Let's go down to, there's Tauranga, let's go down to Ohopi Beach. I've got good friends that live on the beach there. They've only got sort of a southeasterly 13 knots, nothing much there. Right at the top of East Cape right now, it's only 27 knots. And so it's moving away. But look at that. Look, it's this thing here is affecting this weather out here. Is coming from this. If you zoom out, you'll see what I mean. It's whirling around. This whole big thing is just whirling around. It's a cyclone. It's going cyclonically clockwise. That's why they call them cyclones. And anticyclones go the other way, don't they? They go that way. But this one's going clockwise, and there's more wind out there in the Tasman, slamming against Auckland and Hamilton and New Plymouth, and probably whipping through the Cook Strait, because this little thing here, where there's no wind at all, is the centre of all this action right out here. I mean, it's even being felt way up there, way north of New Zealand, way up there. It's probably 500 miles north of New Zealand, this thing here, this southwesterly, 31 knots, is probably gusting close to 50 knots as a result of this whole setup. Isn't it incredible how this can operate, how these things move? Just unbelievable. And when you zoom out and you look at all the wind here, just marvellous, isn't it? If only we had a proper map, we could look at it instead of this funny globe thing. It'd be good to have a proper map. But we don't have one. So there we have it. And so what are we up to now? We must be getting close. Sorry, I've got the clock on the other side of me. 16 minutes to 2. You're listening to Grant. And I wonder if I've got enough internet power to take us over and carry on down my page and see the things. Oh, look, there we are. So everyone needs a loyalty card, especially if you want to get vaxxed up like this dear couple. Make sure you've got a loyalty card. So here, these are the types of drains we had in the old days. And if you go to my Liberty NZ at Podbean, I've just done a little piece on that, how our property taxes, how our rates have been diverted into Agenda 21 sustainable development programs for redesigning, rezoning, and building what they call mixed-use buildings in the cities, which is where they want you all to live. They don't want you living in the country. They want you living in town. Now, I know this looks a bit ugly, doesn't it? But that's the best. They are the best for getting rid of water. You could keep that. You could concrete them all in, but there's no good covering them over and just having drains all covered over, because the water's got to get in there, and so it'll be getting in from all over. You know, and you can't just have just one bottleneck where it goes in with a grate on top, which you know, we know that debris and leaves and things just block them up, and that's what happened in Auckland 2 weeks ago when they had all those floods going through people's properties because they have neglected Auckland City. Shame on them. And it's not Wayne Brown's fault. He's only just arrived. It's all the other mayors, people like Phil Goff and others that went before him. It was their responsibility to make sure that Auckland had a proper storm water, real, and I'm talking storm water, I'm not just talking drainage, I'm not talking wastewater, which is where the wastewater goes into the storm water drains. We need some seriously good. There's a nice big gust just came through again there, up at the in the far north, and it is it's 2:15. So that's what happened there. They all the drains are blocked up. So that what they need is open drains, probably not as ugly as that, but you can concrete them in and you can make them as wide as the motorway. And so we need to have those there where they're just for storm water, just to get rid of when we have a big deluge. So that's, yes, yeah, so there's some nice gusts coming through here now, man. Some of these will be 40, 50 knots, some of the gusts. Yeah, on average, though, right now we've only got about, I think we've got about 20, 25 knots on average. Down here where I am, it's probably only 10 knots because I'm sheltered. I've got a very sheltered building site. However, the wind, when it comes, it swirls around and they act like little tidal waves, sorry, like little tornadoes, and they really rip through here and shake the old tiny house. They get it moving. So yesterday I went out for a drive in my area, and that's me there with the hat, and I had a look. I sort of felt that it was a bit of a media beat-up, and I still think it is. I think a lot of the media are really hyping it up. They're making a real meal out of this thing, but it's really not that bad. It's just this combination of water and wind together makes things a bit interesting. Also, on my Facebook page, I've got a link to an interview that I did with lawyer Liz Lambert, and you can watch that on Odyssey, or you can watch it on Twitch, or you can hear it on my podcast, which is libertynz.podbean.com, where we talk about Pamela. Now, where's her name? Pamela Taylor, who's being held under the Mental Health Act 1992, where they can take you and they can inject you with drugs, mind-altering drugs, psychotropic drugs, and they can hold you for, you know, as long as they want. And the reason why she was held is that her ex-husband, who she's in a custody battle with for the children, he tried to make out that she's a nutty tinfoil hatter like me, and because she went to the Wellington protests early last year, in February last year, a couple of times, and she's against the mandates, and so this doctor, Dr. Nigel Fanshawe, I think his name is, who has been in the news before for injecting a man with psychotropic drugs and gave him an overdose and actually killed him. He was in the news for that. And also some other dodgy stuff, which I won't go into now because I don't have evidence of that. But we do have evidence that this man who has Pauline, she's a former mayoral candidate of Dunedin, and she's a mother of three. And she's only there because she's in a custody battle with her husband, and the family court decided that they would make an example of her because she is against the mandates. So that's how they work. They all work in cahoots. So go and have a listen to that. And then Stuart Clark Bennett, he always writes some good stuff. He says here, a few are really coming to terms with a huge mistake the proxy war in Russia has, and it has become. This debacle, driven by the US ruling class and their money enablers, is about to come to a head as Putin prepares his steamroller operation to finish Ukraine off. This will end the Ukraine state and NATO. Biden will go down as the man who wrecked Ukraine, and as I posted when the election was stolen, obscene numbers of people would die as a result. The US installed Zelensky for its own narrow political reasons and the personal enrichment of the ruling class and democratic donors. So that's on my page, Stuart Clark Bennett, and he does some great stuff. Good old Stuart. And then let's just go back 500 years. This was a 24-year-old girl who was a Roman Catholic, born a Roman Catholic, and she didn't believe. She started to get hold of the Bible and started reading the Bible, which Roman Catholics in the early 1500s were forbidden. I think it was 1545 or something like that, almost 500 years ago, 1546, yes. Her name was Anne Askew, and she was burned at the stake in 1546 by the Roman Catholic Church. They hand her over to the authorities because at that time we would have had Bloody Mary, I think, or someone like that would have been, you know, Catholic, some Catholic king of England. And a lot of them were burnt up at Oxford. I went to Oxford and saw where people had been burnt at the stake and right out in the street there. Terrible thing. That's what they did. Over 300 Protestants, these were often Catholic priests, over 300 of them were tortured and then finally burnt at the stake in public just for believing something like that the bread and the wine were just a symbol and not the real body of Christ and the real blood of Christ. Now, the Roman Catholic believes that that priest can magically turn that little wafer and the wine, which only he's allowed to drink, into the real body of Christ and the real blood of Christ. And he drinks the blood, he drinks the wine, and he guzzles that down, doesn't give any to the parishioners. And they go and take this little pagan wafer god and put that on their tongue, and then he says to them, the body of Christ. So they have to believe in their mind that little wafer has been magically turned by the priest during the Mass, that it's been turned into the real body of Jesus, and they eat this Jesus. And of course, that's an old pagan thing, that Tammuz, they used to do this. The pagans used to eat their god. And so really, the Roman Catholic is just following an ancient pagan religion, which is about 5,000 years old. Nothing to do with Christianity. In fact, I've noticed today that the Roman Catholics now have dropped the Roman off, and they call themselves Catholics, and they even call themselves Christians as well now. They never used to, because sometimes you'd say to a Roman Catholic, say like back in 1960 or 1970, you'd say, "Oh, are you a Catholic?" And they'd say, "Oh no, that's right." You'd say, "Are you a Christian?" And they go, "Oh no, I'm a Roman Catholic," as if that was far better to be a Roman Catholic. But anyway, poor Anne Askew was burnt at the stake in 1546 by the Roman Catholic Church during the Inquisition era. She had been tortured in the Tower of London on the rack, causing her joints to be dislocated. She had to be carried to the stake on a chair, unable to walk. She refused to submit to papal authority and their false, blasphemous dogmas. She was only 24, and that was dear Anne Askew. And there she was, a 24-year-old girl making a stand for the truth, making a stand for the Bible and the true God, the God of the Christians, and not the God of the Roman Catholic Church, which is Tammuz, the mighty hunter, son of the hunter, Nimrod. So I've got my phone going over there, but I daren't go over and get it, because it's the only thing that's allowing me to do this podcast. So I can't really afford to go over and pick it up, because if I move it from over there, my internet will drop away. And so there we go. And then, you know, the other thing I would just have to say, that looking at Anne, there she is, she's on fire. And when I hear charismatics say that they are on fire for Jesus, it absolutely disgusts me when I hear that. Now we'll just move on down. This is the Counterspin report. Have a listen to this. This is pretty good. This is about, is it going to work? Yeah, hopefully it will. This is about
Friday, 10th of February, 2023. Welcome to Counterspin's breaking story. Dunedin woman Pamela Taylor, mother of three and a former mayoral candidate, has been sectioned under the Mental Health Compulsory Assessment and Treatment Act 1992.
Yes, Calvin, that was a very disturbing story that we were made aware of this afternoon. And Pamela did want us to contact her so she could tell us her story. We were on the phone with her for over an hour. She was at that point at the emergency psychiatric service. She had already been seen by Dr. Nigel Fanshawe, who deemed that she had a mental dysfunction. And then we actually were on the phone with her while she was transferred to the Waikare Psychiatric Hospital, where people who are very concerned about her will be gathering at 9 a.m. tomorrow. The address is 369 Tyree Road, Halfway Bush, Dunedin. So if you're in the area and you can go and give her some support, it's 9 a.m. tomorrow.
And of course, critics of this legislation when it was passed at the time did say that there was a risk of that being weaponized and used against the public for anyone who had a dissenting view against government narratives, court rulings, or the state of play in New Zealand?
Because that is exactly what Pamela is alleging. She is saying that because she's gone through the family courts with her ex-husband, this all started back in Wellington. She went up to be part of the Freedom Village for 1 week on two separate occasions. In between those visits, she went home for a week. But by the time she was back from her second visit, Kelvin, her ex had already filed the paperwork and got court proceedings happening, and it was the judge who has ordered her to be taken by the police and have a forced psychiatric assessment.
Yes, she, as organisations like Families for Justice will know, that the family court is indeed a very secretive court. It's very hard to get any sort of comeback on it. It reminds us of the Star Chambers of old, where they say you do and there is no recourse. Basically, again, as we said, weaponized legislation used against the public is something we should all be pretty worried about now, because a lot of us have views that could be now classed as extreme. And if this is anything to go by, this could just be the start of a floodgate.
And we can confirm that a local public official down there has been to see her, and she is calm, just like she was when we spoke to her. Yep. And he's helped go and get some of her personal possessions, because she could be in that facility for up to 5 days. So we will be bringing you updates as they come to hand. Tomorrow we will be appearing on and hosting the Alex Jones show for the fourth hour, 9 a.m. till 10 a.m, where we will be having Donna Porkity Phillips, the co-leader of the New Zealand Outdoors and Freedom Party, join us, and we'll be maybe crossing over to that gathering.
Yeah, and just before we leave tonight's breaking story, remember there is a lot of freedom movement people out there who are getting into the common law, getting into living law. Pamela is, of course, claiming, as rightfully so, she is a living woman, not subject without consent to be dictated to by statutes. So be very wary that anyone who holds those extreme views, that you are actually someone who can decide for yourself, they are, by the looks of it, coming gunning for you.
Take it. Take care out there.
And that's New Zealand Counterspin Media, the revolution, Counterspin, and that's Hannah Spera and Calvin Alp at Counterspin. And that was a report they did back on the 10th, so that was about 4 days ago now. So we'll have to, if you want to know what's happening with Pamela Taylor, then I would suggest you get over to counterspinmedia.com, counterspinmedia.com, or you can find them on bandtv.com, or is it just band.tv? I'm not sure. Band TV, I think. Look that up. That's the Alex Jones Network, and they get often hundreds of thousands of views when they go out, when Counterspin goes out on that site. Incredible. So now I'll just get back to my Facebook page, Grant Edwards' Facebook page, and just to have a skitter on down here. Cyclone, yes. Now, I was a bit annoyed about that. I thought that it was very bad that the Cyclone Gabrielle, which was on its way south, and that we should prepare. And if we need to travel, what have I got here? Plan your route. Oh, yeah, that's what they're saying. With 99.9% of us knowing English, wouldn't it be less confusing in an emergency to have everything written in English? So they've got all this stuff written in Māori. And a lot of people don't know what some of these terms are. You know, waka kotanga or whatever it's called. What's that? Is that the VTNZ? Is it? I don't know. It's something to do with automobiles, with driving on the road. I know that much. And then what have we got further down on my page? Oh, yes, now this guy, this is, what's his name? Sainsbury, Tom Sainsbury. He is such a funny guy. Have a listen to Tom Sainsbury.
Yeah, so, I mean, I didn't know that there was...
Oh, now what he's doing is he's impersonating Clark Gayford, who is the former Prime Minister of New Zealand, Jacinda Ardern's boyfriend.
Floating in the Pacific Ocean. I happened to be fishing there in the proximity. It was a complete surprise to me that there was all that. And then, you know, all these police boats were coming out, and I was just there. I happened to be fishing there. And so I think just sometimes coincidences happen. The police commissioner said, "Oh, you again, Clark?" And I said, what are you talking about? I'm just catching some orange roughy. And I said, where are your rods? And I said, oh, I knew I forgot something. I do wonder what they're going to be doing with it, because, I mean, it is a waste of... I just think it's a huge waste of money. Like, what a waste of money. But, you know, I guess they have to destroy it. But what do I care?
Yeah, what do you get? Oh, that's hilarious. That guy is so funny. So Tom Sainsbury's, a New Zealand comedian. He's got a... he's on Snapchat. And he's also on... there he is. He's on Snapchat, dude. Yeah, funny. So he must do all that, all those funny characters there on Snapchat. I don't know how he does it. He must get some sort of an image of whoever he's going to imitate. And then I think his eyes and his mouth sort of move through with some technological thing that happens, and he's blimmin' good at it. Let's have a listen and see what's going over happening on the platform, see what they've got coming up here. This is the platform. Let's have a listen to old Pat, what's his name? Patrick Plunkett, is it? Sean, that's right, Plunkett. I knew it was some Catholic name. So is that going to play for me?
I was having a conversation yesterday afternoon. I got an urgent phone call. It wasn't an urgent phone call. It was my mate Tina Nixon, who you know comes on the platform from time to time, and she said, give us a ring. And I gave Tina a ring, and we had a conversation which is related, has resulted in a column that is going to be published on the platform later today in our opinion section by Tina. And I think that...
Oh, hopeless. Look at that. Dial-up speed. Is he going to play? Oh, perhaps we'll come back to Sean the Plunkett. Perhaps we'll come back to him. I don't think that's going to work. It's just a bit dodgy. There we go. Let's have a look. Is it going to go? Is it going to play? It might. It's no. No, no, the internet's really bad at the moment. So there we are. Come over to me. Come over to my Facebook page and have a look and see what I'm doing there. Because I often will, if I go and do something on Podbean at Liberty NZ, I usually put a link up to it on my Facebook page. So you'll get a bit of a heads up, a bit of a nudge and a wink that I'm about to do something. So there we are. There we are. It's Tuesday. It's just gone 5, a couple of minutes past 2. I've missed the news, but never mind. I have to find a really good news stream that we can whip over to at the beginning of each hour, and so I can see what's happening. So I'm going to sign off now. I can feel a cup of coffee coming on, and so I'm going to say goodbye, and hope to hear from you all. See you all next time. Don't forget to go over to my Podbean channel, libertynz.podbean. Get the Podbean app. Then you can come on and talk to me when I go live on it. So, and you can tell me what's going on in your part of the world or your part of the country. And so until then, Grant Edwards for Liberty NZ, and see you next time.